Okay. Thank you for coming. Let's pick back up in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Let's pick up at verse 24, only because we have a few verses. So we'll pick up at 24. And we found out through our studies that Paul is speaking to the Corinthians as encouraging them, as well as challenging them to run. And when I say run, that's obviously in their faith, to run, to say it again. To run in accordance with the doctrine, and actually to embrace who he called them to be.
To participate.
I like that. Yes, to participate, not spectate. Did you know the Christianity is a spectator sport?
By default
and by neglect. Paul, in verse 24, he says this: "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." Now, he's not talking about them running to be saved. He's not talking about them running to stay saved. As a matter of fact, salvation has nothing to do with this running, other than the fact that they run because they are saved. And when he says run, run would be synonymous with what? What would?
Serve.
Would serve. Or labor. What did you say?
Service.
Yeah. That's why I would say, we agree with Karen, is most believers, they think that salvation is, that's the time to sit down and rest. It's okay to rest. I have obtained, right. And Paul said, you just got in.
Yeah.
He says, now you should run that you what? May obtain.
Just put your shoes on.
Obtain what?
A reward.
For a reward for service? Mm-hmm. What? That's, you think about God saved the Corinthians, equipped the Corinthians, and then encouraged them to, last week I was listening to the sermon, and Ed said this, and he says, God, he wants volunteer servants. He doesn't make you serve. That would be inconsistent with grace. That's why a believer can get saved, like the Corinthians can get saved and not grow in knowledge and not run and not serve. But that's the exact opposite of what God wants. And that's the very thing that Paul, the reason that Paul gave his liberty up was so that nobody would look at him and say, if that's running, if that's service, we don't want to. Isn't that what we are faced with today? If we looked at TV and based our service off of the way we see them handle, after the way we see the stewards of God's mysteries, would you serve? Would you want to?
No. Even the stewards of God's law, it's just way out there.
It is. They're unfaithful stewards. You know, the Lord said in Luke, he says, after the steward has done all that he can do, after he's went out and labored, he doesn't come home and sit down and eat. He comes home and says to his master, what else do you want me to do? You get his food first, and then he says, after all that, he says, I have done what I was supposed to do. I'm an unprofitable servant. We don't think like that. We have a sense of entitlement. And that's the Corinthians. They had all the gifts, exercising all these gifts, not for God's furtherance. It was for their own entertainment or their own pride, own glory. Look at what I have. Not realizing that as we go forward, he will say, what'd you say?
Shiny baubles.
He was to say this is for the to profit the body with all. For everybody. That's what he wanted the whole Corinthian church to run. You know what's interesting? He says this. He says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? But one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. Even though he's encouraging them all to run, he's encouraging them as a group, but as an individual, he says, run that you would win. Run that you would win. Even though it's a collective, we know what we meet here. We want to see us all run, don't we?
Right.
But you know what I'm running for? That's now. Let me give you a little bit. And it's not so much as to say, look at me run. You know, that's kind of Jehudian. You know who Jehu is? He was back in the Old Testament. The Lord called him for a purpose. And then he went out. He got in his chariot. And he says, come and see my zeal for the Lord. and when they saw him, they said, this is like Jehu, for he driveth furiously. You know, he was in his chariot. He was going after him. Well, that's not so much as to say, look at me. It's like Paul said, look at Philippians chapter 3.
Is it like we all have our part in the body, therefore if we are functioning in our capacity, then we're contributing to the whole, and it all fits together.
Exactly.
Don't be a weak link.
When you have Philippians 3, then when we look at that, look at Ephesians chapter 4. In Philippians 3, Paul said this, and it just quoted this. Philippians 3, verse 10. He says, Paul says, that I may, okay, verse 9, verse 8, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. You know what Paul's saying right there? He says, I'm in the race.
I'm all in.
I'm in the race. He says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. He's saying, the reason I'm running is not, he says, it's not my own performance. I'm running because of his faithfulness. Paul said it to Timothy. He says, no man that who's called to be a soldier entangleth himself in the affairs of his life. He does it. He endures hardness that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. And Paul's saying here, he says, I'm running not on my merit, but because of what he has done. Because of his faithfulness. He says, verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, you remember last week we read a passage in John where the Lord says, to this end I came into the world, and for this cause, that I would bear witness to the truth. Now here's Paul. He says, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Now, what do you know about his resurrection? Yeah, right. You're right. That's the open-ended question. I'll close that loop then. The scripture says he died unto sin once, and that he liveth unto God. His resurrection, sin, no more problem with sin. He says, verse 10, he says, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. You know, when Christ suffered, although he was suffering on the behalf of others, he suffered as a righteous man. He suffered a sinner's death, but he was a righteous man. They persecuted him because of his... He said to the Jews, he says, For what? He says, what good work do you stone me for? Or do you seek to... What good work have I done that you don't like? They couldn't deny he went around doing what? But he suffered for it. Persecuted for it. They said, for a good work we stone thee not. But thou being a man, makest thyself God. Because he said that he was what? The Son of God. He says, being made conformable unto his death. Not saying I want to be crucified.
Surrender.
Philippians, he said this. He was in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a
servant,
in the likeness of man. He humbled himself and became
obedient
unto death, even
death.
Paul says, that's what I want. I want to be obedient unto death. That's a high calling, isn't it?
That's heavy.
Who can do that?
Very mature, very, very, very mature.
A very, very, very mature believer, yes. I can't make it an hour in some form or fashion if I deviate.
I can't pray for it with honesty and saying, please, Lord, let me become conformable.
No.
Let me suffer.
No, you can't. You know, that's... It's just little things that... Think about this. What do you think Paul gave up for the Lord?
Everything.
His life. His life, right. You know, I was thinking the other day, and this is something as small as a TV show. You know, I was sitting down, and... It was a TV show came on. I said, I want to make sure I catch this. Dion's Family Playbook. Anyway, it was a sports guy. Yeah. So, I sat down, you're going to waste this hour. Hours, because it was a few of them. It was a string of them. So, you're going to sit down and waste this time doing what? That's not redeeming the time. And with that in mind, you know what I did? I still watched it. I didn't feel guilty. I knew that. Well, I did know that I could have made better use of that time.
But I'm not saying
DVR'd it. No. I didn't, but I still did it. You know why? Because we're not on that. We just looked at it. We're not on that level of commitment. We're not on that level of. I'm not on that level of surrender. That's why Paul said it. He says, "This is the way I want to be found." Okay, he says, "If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, that is completely sinless." He's saying this. He says, "I want that now. I don't want to wait till I die." For that, I want that now. He says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. Yes, sir.
So Paul wasn't quite all the way there himself, right?
No, he's telling us right there. He says, not as though I had already attained.
That makes us feel better.
Listen, he's calling you to run with him.
Right.
He's saying, or either we're already perfect. I haven't reached my perfect maturity. I'm not at my highest level of maturity. But I follow after. If that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended for of Christ Jesus. What did he apprehend Paul for?
Chosen vessel to reveal his son and to conform to the image of Christ.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
That's because you taught it before and I got the notes, right?
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'll give credit where credit's due.
So, well, you know what? I was thinking that's exactly what I was thinking.
You did.
You know, and Paul did say, he says when the Lord chose him, he said to reveal his son.
In me.
Not to me.
In me.
In me. And then when he calls us, you know what he wants to do?
Manifest his life.
Reveal his son in us. He says this. He says, verse 13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Let us, now think about the Corinthians when we say this. He says, let us, therefore, as many be what?
Mature.
Perfect. He just said I wasn't perfect. I wasn't mature, but then he turns around and says, let us, many as us that be mature, what? Well, wait a minute. Are you mature or are you not?
In Christ we are.
Now, the play on the words is this. You know, the word is used, I believe, is the word that we get. You know, like, you know what a telephone is? Well, of course you know what a telephone is. Telephone. Telephone.
Telegraph, tell a woman.
Telephone. Telegraph. Teletubby.
Teletubby.
What is that?
You don't watch the Teletubbies?
Oh,
anyway, listen. But the tele, T-E-L-E, the word is like telescope. Mm. It is
far-reaching.
Yes, it has a sense of bringing something that's far away closer. So when you use a telephone, you want your voice that for someone far away, you want it to be closer. You want them to hear like you're there. Or a telegraph, you want the writing to be there, even though you're here. Telescope, you want what you see to be closer, even though it's farther away. Teleos, that's what Paul said. He said, I have not reached that point yet of maturity. But I want that point to be what?
Closer.
Not that I am already over here.
Right.
But I want to shorten that distance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you're mature, you know what? You won't stay here. If you're mature, you'll want to go what?
Forward.
You'll want to go closer.
The mark.
You'll want to press toward the mark. Paul, that's why Paul told the Corinthians earlier on in chapter 6, he was saying that you can do all these things, but they're not expedient. Remember we talked about that? They don't get you there in maturity. You could do that. You could do all those things, but they're not expedient. It doesn't help you in your maturity, in your run to maturity. It's a, wow, wait a minute. 15. Let us therefore, as many be perfect, be thus minded. Thus minded. Think, let's think the same. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. He says, wherever you are in the race, he says, just keep running. Wherever you are, just keep going. For those of us who think the same, you think most believers want to grow. Wouldn't you think that? That's why he said, he didn't say all of us. He said, let as many of us, let us who think the same. You notice when Paul starts to the Corinthians, back to chapter 10, chapter 9, you know, one of the main things he talks about is their thinking. You know, that's where we have a hard time, is this process that Paul calls renewing your mind. That's a rough process, because it doesn't happen without the word. You must take the doctrine in. There's no way around it. People tell you, how did you get rich? And everybody looks for get rich quick. Scheme. And when the guy tells you, he says, man, I work 12 hours a day, I work 7 days a week, and they say, oh. Very rarely you might find someone who might hit the lottery, you don't do any work, but usually that money is it's gone.
They don't have anything really invested.
Like a guy, I got talked to the guy the other day, he says, there's no skin in the game. So, you know what? Paul had a lot of skin in the game. He can tell them about running. Chapter 9. Let's get back over here. So you see that, why don't we even go over there? Paul is, the race. He hadn't gotten there yet. And he's telling the Corinthians, he says in chapter 9, verse 24, he says, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And then when he says they, he's talking about unbelievers. You know, unbelievers, they'll put a lot of work into, even at that time, into the athletic games that they participated in.
Literally the flesh.
They don't drink this. They don't eat this. For, you know, training. You know, if you ever trained, if you ever did any type of, even I think about James, or he says, well, I don't eat bread, or whatever it was. You know what? He's focusing on the physical.
I focus too much on bread. Take it off.
She's not temperate in all things.
Yeah, no self-control. Lord help.
but they put a lot of effort in towards that. How much effort do you put in on the spiritual side?
That's good.
I timed myself one night. You know, you can read, well, I won't say for the average reader, and I would say I'm slightly below average reading speed. You can read the Pauline epistles from Romans to Philemon in 2 hours or less.
Really?
I timed it because it was just a read. Just reading.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying reading and stopping for comprehension. You can do it. And now, the reason I said that, if you can read 13 books in 2 hours, what about 13 verses? Surely you can read a book a day. Even with my level of intelligence, I can read a book a day. So what excuse? We're not temperate. We're not passage for the Hebrew writer. We haven't exercised ourselves.
We're not even racing.
Not even racing. You know, when I did go to the marathon, you know, you had a lot of people standing around. When you went by, they cheered you on, like, all right, all right, right.
I'm serving.
They were there. They give you the water. You know, and when you got to the finish line, they had something that wrapped you up. If you got cold, they had something that wrapped you up, and they gave you the little the little corruptible crown. But the people who are out there, those are the ones who are running that they may obtain. So when Paul talks to the Corinthians, with all they had, spiritually speaking, they weren't running. They weren't laboring. It was, say it again.
They weren't even
warming up. Right. You know, and that's, but you think about it, it's really, and I would say like Paul, he says, I speak this to your shame. Or you think of it, he said, you come behind in no gift. He has equipped you to run well. Didn't he?
Mm-hmm. But didn't the Corinthians, they had all the gifts already, but maybe, I guess they didn't know how to use them because they weren't studying.
Well, they couldn't study. They were the study.
Okay, well, I'm just trying to figure out, you know, they're in a carnal state. How were they to get to the spiritual, mature state?
Because right here, chapter 9, when he says, run that you may obtain, I was sitting down thinking about this the other night. When Paul writes, at least in Corinth, when he's writing to the Corinthians for chapter 1, the first Corinthians, they had at least 16 problems that Paul addressed. Because there's 16 chapters, and he covers a problem a chapter. And you think about it, it's everything he's doing is to remind them of who they are and what they should be doing, not where they are and what they are not doing. So when he's, even though, think about it, this is grace. They have the Spirit. They have the gifts. God is supernaturally equipping them to serve him. And yet, I'll borrow one from Ed again. He's still, the greatest thing that he gives us is choice, free will. Listen, he gave the devil free will. And he was wiser, more beautiful than all created beings. Was he not?
Yes.
And God still didn't make the devil do anything. So he it's no big deal if he equips the Corinthians with everything, and yet he looks in their carnal. Because he says, I want you to do this. I want you to do this willingly.
But he was telling them what they needed to.
He was telling them what they should. He's telling them what they should think, how they should serve. He's giving them step by step instructions, and we can have benefited from this today. And this, he's encouraging them. He says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now, Paul is explaining to them how he tempers himself. Who better, if you're wherever you, whatever you're in, whatever arena you're in, who better to get some advice from, mm-hmm. from a professional? Does it make sense?
Yes.
This is, you know, I remember a guy asked me, he says, man, how do you do this? He said, you've been saved a long time. He says, you know, it was DeMarco. He said, man, how do you do this? And I said, do what? He says, how do you stay in this? He says, as long as I've been knowing you, he said, you've been going forward. And I said, you know what? I gave the answer I gave him is, I read myself through it. He didn't understand that. He says, what do you mean? I said, you'll get it. I said, I read myself. It's not me. I read myself through that. Through the hard times, through the, you know, the valleys. Don't you? Let me rephrase that. I faith myself through it. How does that sound? Because
the truth of the word override the emotions you're feeling.
That's right. I look toward him, not at me and my circumstances. Now I do look at him, and sometimes I give myself and say, okay, you got an hour to wallow on this. And that's it. You ever do that? Talk to yourself? Okay, old man, you got an hour to do this. After that, I'm putting you back in place. What? Look, Paul said this, I keep under my body. I put him in place. And bring it into subjection. How do you do that?
Judge yourself.
Lord, help me. Lord, move it. If you see anything around me that's that's wicked, Lord, take it away. How many times have you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
I know this. I know what it sounds like. But you cannot. Don't underestimate, that's not a good word. God has equipped you with his spirit. He has given us everything we need to run. Mm-hmm. And somewhere along the line, for us as believers, you have to know the power that works in you. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
No. Our problem is this. We, not only do we not know it's in us, we don't know how to access it.
Appropriate it.
Put it this way. Ephesians. Holy hands in Ephesians. Chapter 3. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 3 and Colossians chapter 1. All right. Ephesians chapter 3. Now, you know Paul, when he prays to the Ephesians, prays for the Ephesians in verse, let's pick it up at verse 14. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You think that's just information?
No.
But it is information.
Okay. That's, now, he said this. Now, and to know the love of Christ, and in verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that's in heaven. The power that what? Worketh what? In us. Now, Paul's saying, he says, I'm praying for you. Number one, for you to understand, all this has to do with to understand who you are in Christ, what he's made you in Christ. He said, I want you to understand that, and he can do it by his Spirit. And not only that, he says, goes right into this. In chapter 4, he says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you do what? Of what?
Vocation for the
vehicle. Vocation. You know what a vocation is?
It's your how you utilize your skill set.
You know, most people say they are confused occupation with a vocation. Occupation, I could do that on the side. Vocation.
It's like your calling.
That's what he said. Vocation is what I've been called to do, and what my natural abilities are equipped for me to do.
Yeah.
When God calls the Corinthians, their vocation was they were called to be saints. Mm-hmm. That's what he said in chapter 1. Now, what that entails is this. When he gives you his Spirit, you are automatically equipped to do what he wants done. Because the Spirit is there.
Mm-hmm.
Only thing he doesn't do, it doesn't work off your ignorance. That's the one.
What?
Ignorance. That's why Paul says over to the Corinthians, he says, know you not? Don't you know this? I would have you to know this. I would not have you to be ignorant. Because if you can't do anything if you don't know anything. So that's why Paul is always praying this. Get something up here so he could use you. Now we come here, you know what? We pick up the word, we love the word, and we talk about how great the word is. But I'm telling you, I'm not saying you all here, but the places you go, believers don't believe that this book is powerful. They don't believe it's spirit. I'm telling you, they don't believe it.
They don't. That's true.
Because you can't, look, even Jesus said this, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit.
Life.
What?
And they are life.
What?
Life.
Power.
Thank you. Do you really believe that? So how can you take in power after power after dose of power, a dose of power, dose of power, and then say, I got nothing?
Ignorance.
Why would Paul say, you know, I want you to know some things, and then that'll enable you to do what?
Use the power.
To use the power. I know. That sounds real. What's he talking about? Corinthians. Oh, did I say Colossians? Then we got to run back to Corinthians. I wanted to get to chapter 10.
We're almost there. Yeah. We're there.
Colossians chapter 1. After he heard, Paul heard the Colossians, they got saved. He says, verse 9, for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might what?
Walk
worthy.
What? Walk worthy.
I want you to get some information that you might what?
Walk worthy
of the Lord unto what? All pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He says, look, this had nothing to do with your position as far as trying to obtain it or your salvation. He says, I'm writing to you because you are saved. He says, now I need you to get some information. And when you get that information, it's going to allow you, you read it, to do what? To do what? To walk worthy. We just read it in Ephesians, the same thing, right? You just read it in Corinthians in a different phraseology. He says, run that you might what?
Obtain.
Okay, back to Corinthians. So Paul's saying, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. Let me ask you a question. How do you bring your body under subjection? Do you tie yourself up? Do you put a blindfold on, a muzzle on your mouth? What do you do?
You have to control yourself and discipline
yourself. How?
And take the wisdom and take the truth. With God's power.
With God's power? That's great. This, all those are right answers. But how do I do it? That's what Paul's saying. I keep under my body and bring it to subjection. This is where our disconnect is. Because if we don't know how to access it, we will never access it.
Is it by the renewing of our mind?
It's by the renewing of our minds. Exactly. Now, Paul said this in Romans 6. He said that we should yield ourselves unto God.
Oh, yeah.
You said, you talk about free will? He says, don't you know to whom you yield yourselves servants to whom you yield your servants to, his servants you are. Whether sin unto death, right? Or unto holiness. You mean to tell me that What is that? What is he saying? Let's look at that. Look at Romans 6. Romans 6. He says, knowing this, there's that knowledge word again. Knowing this, do you know this? That our old man is what? With him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth. Henceforth, we believers should not, not will not, not cannot, that we should not, what? Serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. He just told you that you died with him. He just told you that you was buried with him. He just told you that you were resurrected to walk in newness of life. What does he mean if I can't do that? Why pull this trick on me, Paul, if you know I can't do that? And you're telling me this in every epistle. What a prankster. Right? We don't know how to access it. But he said this. Now, 8. If we be dead with Christ, are we?
Yes.
We believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through, there's the key, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become
servants
to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end
everlasting.
That's every believer. That's who he is. I know, man. I know. That's rough. That's rough. Listen, when God says you're saved by grace, you're free, he means it. And when he means that you have the Spirit and you, in Romans 8, he says this. He says, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Are you still in Romans? Chapter 8. Verse 9, he says, You're not in the flesh. You're not in the flesh. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your what? By what?
The spirit.
Listen, if you have the spirit, right? He just said that, right? You're his, you have the spirit. And if you're taking in the spirit, the word, what do you think he's quickening you with? And what does he mean, quicken? I'm already alive. Am I not? I already have life. He just told me in the previous verses that I have life. The spirit of life is in me. And now he's telling me and says, look, the spirit will quicken your mortal body.
Quicken you up. Giving you power.
To do what?
To live righteously.
Are you sure? So the spirit works with? Through the word.
Right.
Okay, if I take the word out, what happens?
Deflate gate.
Deflate gate. Or if I put it in and it's not rightly divided.
The spirit can't pull out and edify you what you haven't put in for him to draw from.
And you know what? You can put in a lot of Old Testament verses, and he'll get in the spirit. He'll try to use that. He says, "I." What can he do with it? What can he do with? Take no thought for what you. I know it sounds good when we say it, but stop thinking about what you're going to eat tomorrow. And check back with me in a few weeks.
Sell everything. Give it.
He won't break his promises because you are not aware of what he's doing. When I say that, when people think God doesn't work because he doesn't deliver on the things that they think he should deliver on. Cain, he thought this. Surely, he'll honor my labor. I've been working all day getting this together. And he puts it there. He puts it on the altar. He's waiting. Nothing. And instead of getting it right, he gets angry. Whose fault? Why was he? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted?
God told him what to do. Gave him the requirements.
You know what? He tells you what to do. You know why? You know why it doesn't work?
You don't read.
Number one, you're not taking it in. And number two, if you take it in,
you have to surrender to it, right?
You have to yield to it.
Yeah.
Paul said to the Thessalonians, he says, I'm thanking God that when you received the word that you heard of us, that you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God that worketh in you that read it. That you that quoted.
That
you that heard it.
Believe.
That believe. That's why I said there's a lot of believers who don't believe. They believe to salvation, but traveling faith they do not have. You know what God told Abraham? Let's go. He said, where are we going? He said, just get up and go. I'll tell you.
On the way, I tell you.
He's going. But he believed. But he said, come on, Lot. Come on, Dad. He took him with him, didn't he? And God didn't show him everything that he had until he told Lot. He said, you go that way, and I'll go that way. If you go that way, I'll go that way. And the moment he left, God appeared to him and he said, guess what? It's all yours. Even where he went. I mean, I said that, but he couldn't. Abraham, he wasn't totally sold out to God yet. All right, Corinthians. We'll stop. But he says, I bring my body up under subjection. Your practice starts with what you believe. That's why Paul, he's writing to the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians, he told them this. He said, you, I'm paraphrasing this, you must bring every thought into captivity. Every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, he said, you bring that thought into captivity, into obedience to Christ. What? What's that? Check yourself before you wreck yourself. What did you say?
I said if I only could.
If you only could. You know what? I didn't see that. Let me look at that verse. I didn't see that. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. See, 10:3. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity most of my thoughts. Some of them. Every thought to the obedience of Christ. How can you bring your thought life into captivity? Or as Paul say, how can you bring your thought life into subjection?
Through the word.
You said it. By what? The renewing of your mind.
Single-mindedness.
If you don't have his mind, what are you bringing in the captivity?
Nothing. You're not gonna bring it into captivity. You're gonna bring it into your
own imagination. Right.
You're still working off vain imagination.
Yes. You're gonna weather them in.
The vanity of your mind.
It's like when you show somebody in the Word and they go, "Yeah, but."
Or I got prayer about that. They're not looking to bring that thought into captivity to Christ. They want to be AWOL. They want to get out from under authority.
I like doing this. I like this. People say that.
That's the old man. He's elusive. He's elusive like that. You will always find a reason against spiritual progress. The old man. I don't care how mature you are. He's always there to say, you don't need to do that today.
But can I say that at least the more you study, the more you even know what it is that you're supposed to do, or
right.
the more you want to do, because I suffer in the beginning from knowing just that I was saved by grace through faith and was free. I knew that.
Right.
And didn't know all these things that could have started me growing so many years sooner, you know, if I had been studying.
If you had been
taking it in.
Right. Good. You know what? Good testimony is, I think as the verse says, where there's no wood, the fire dieth out.
No wood, no
good. No. But when he's writing to the Corinthians, he's calling them to run. And it's all based on information. Whatever age you're in. And you're gonna find out this when Moses goes in to get the Egyptians, the Israelites out of Egypt, the same principle is here. Is when he goes in and he tells it, we'll pick it up next week on chapter 10. Sorry.